I've gathered a group of young adults who are part of the leadership of their church, either as congregational church workers, volunteers, or as leaders of organizations that support congregations. So let's go around and introduce yourselves.
Pastor Matt Hainer from Messiah Lutheran Church in St. Louis. I'm 35, and I focus on outreach and assimilation.
Hi, I'm Sarah Goldalion. I am the manager of evangelism training for Lutheran Hour Ministries. Manage and produce a teen witnessing training program called 514 and an adult witnessing training program called Mission U.
Hi, I'm Todd Liefer. I'm the associate pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Wentzville, Missouri. And I just recently graduated from Concordia Seminary, so I'm new at this, but I'm really excited about young adult ministry.
And I'm Jessica Bordalo, young adult ministry consultant to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and a volunteer at my congregation. Since each of you are kind of in a unique position to inform us on this issue, because not only are you young adults, you're also part of the leadership of your church or an organization that supports churches. And as a Christian young adult, what do you want other young adults to know about your church?
Just to get the ball rolling, this is what I would want the young adults who are maybe active in my church to know. And that's to start out with, is that they are so essential for reaching the young adults in that community. You know, I'm a young adult myself.
I haven't thought about that.
But, you know, if there's like a person that's from an older generation, you know, young adults will latch on and they'll be mentored by that person. But essentially, or what's essential for young adult ministry is people that are their age, their friends, they're inviting them and building community with them. So what I want young adults to know, if you're in the church and you're active, the church needs them to start building those kind of relationships and that community. Talk to their friends, bring their friends along to the kind of, you know, Bible studies and fun events that we were doing. That's when things take off. When people bring their networks, people they work with, people that they hang out with other times of the week, that's when you can start reaching people. Church leaders can only do so much. So those young adults that they work with are essential for young adult ministry.
And to add to that, I think young adults need to understand their place in a congregation that might not have a lot of young adults. You might go to a church and say, well, we're the only young couple, or I'm the only young adult. I'm going to go find a different church. Well, as soon as you leave, then the next young adult comes and says the same thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a young adult or three or four groups, you know, couples, to stick before more young adults feel comfortable in a congregation. I see that happening at Messiah. You know, about 5 years ago, a couple young adults decided to stick and stay. And now it's like we, you know, get all sorts of young adults in the, you know, joining the fellowship in different ways and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I know how hard it is to go there and feel like, you know, I'm the only one. But if you don't stick, no one will. Someone's got to stay. And that's what sacrifice is all about. So speaking to the active young adults that are in the church that are just struggling with that, think about what you can be doing down the road.
I totally resonate with that because the reason why that this young adult ministry took off at my Vicarage congregation was because there were a couple young adults in this church and there was no ministry for them. So they said, well, we'll start it. We'll do it. And that's when people started flocking and they really started connecting. So again, those lay young adults are just vital. Those are the ones that can really help these sorts of things take off.
So the church would want young adults who are Christians to know we need you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need you to maybe stick it out with us for a little while so that we can help reach your friends, because we need you to know how to reach them. We can't do it without...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God can do whatever he wants, obviously, but God uses... Right. Us to reach our friends.
Talk to your church leaders. You know, let them know what your church needs or what your young adults in your area need in order to let these kind of ministries happen.
At my church, they just, you know, every couple of years they do like the elder rotations and they get new elders. They asked four of the young adult men at my church to be elders. Four! I mean, that would be like a quarter maybe of how many elders we have.
Mm-hmm.
How cool that they asked them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the church then was saying what they wanted to communicate instead of just thinking, oh gosh, I wish we had more young adults. That church actually showed them, we need you. We want you to be a part of not just our volunteer staff, but we want you to be leaders in this church. Come mm-hmm. come help us make decisions.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah.
The message that I hear coming from my church is that, you know, in so many words, it's like we want to come alongside young adults, and it's we're really trying to like serve their needs. It's not that we want to change them and make them like the older Lutheran adults. We want to know, you know, what does serve you? Like, tell us. We don't want you to come and say, I don't fit that mold and then leave. But we want to learn from you. Like, we think that you have something valuable to teach us. Your generation is very innovative. And, you know, we want to come together and formulate something that will serve your needs and the needs of your friends.
Yeah. I mean, just to clarify, when we're talking about needs and what, you know, young adults want, we're not really talking necessarily about theology. We're talking about, you know, what will speak to a young adult that just lets them know that they're being cared for, you know? I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, one thing I know for the church I worked at last year, when the church took care of, like, maybe pregnant women who were just having babies, and they brought them meals. They brought them, like, mm-hmm. you know, 2 weeks' worth of meals to stick in their freezer. They had so many they couldn't even fit them all in their fridge. You know, just to say, this is how we're taking care of people. Mm-hmm. How else can a church, you know, do that?
Yeah, and, you know, on that point, you know, Todd, you just highlighted the care component, you know, caring for women and how that, you know, helps to show an authentic love and so forth. The other side of it is the respect that has been lost in the church. And, you know, something that men really resonate to or can be very turned off is disrespect. You know, you disrespect a man and good night, and they're not going to come back and they're not going to talk to you about it. They're just going to be gone.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, what's an example of that?
Yeah, how would a church disrespect the young man?
Well, the way the church does disrespect young men is you're too young because the church is very old. And so, you know, I'm in my 35s and I get it all the time. You're too young. Too young for what? You know, I'm 2 years older than Jesus was when he died on the cross, but I'm too young to be people's pastors, not in my congregation now. But I mean, when I travel and people don't know me, you're too young, you know, but when people know me, then that's not an issue anymore.
What a young adult will hear when they hear that they're too young, what they'll do is they'll find some place where they don't feel too young. Mm-hmm. And that's what they'll do. They'll jump ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just the way you treat people, I mean, I think a lot of men, period, have left the church out of just flat-out disrespect. Mm-hmm. They've been disrespected. You know, you come to church and it's kind of like Father's Day. All right, Father's Day. You fathers really stink.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it's like...
You felt like that?
I've actually had a couple young adult men say that to me, that they don't go to church on Father's Day because they feel like it's dump on Dad's Day.
Really?
Because of, like, the way that, like, their fathers were, they're being blamed for that. And so they feel like the Lutheran church or the church in general it used to be all about men, and now they're kind of, like, being too hard on men.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that's actually, like, why Lutheran Hour Ministries, like, started a program called the Men's Network. And it's really about reaching men, because sometimes we go too far where we throw the baby out with the bathwater. We say, okay, you know, we obviously want to support women and lift them up and the vocation God's given them and whatever vocation that is. But sometimes we kind of say the man's put them down, even as the church, and we kind of nullify, like, the younger men or the men in general and say, you know, if the men were spiritual leaders, then we wouldn't be in this generation where people, you know, if the baby boomer dads would have been better dads and religious leaders, then you guys wouldn't be like this. And they're kind of sick of hearing that. And I think maybe that's what you're talking about with the disrespect, because that's, you know, a couple of guys that I really, they even go to our church that I don't want to go on Father's Day because I'm afraid that's what I'm going to hear. And I'm not like my dad was. I'm not parenting my kid that way, and I'm kind of sick of hearing it. So maybe lifting young adult men up.
And I've heard that a lot from young adults within churches. As you go to a Bible study and you get hammered for stuff that you're like, but I'm not doing that. What you know?
Yeah.
And there's no gospel to come around to at the other end. It's just like, we all do this. You know, and people say, well, you know, we all don't have faith. Well, what are you talking about?
Right.
I'm in Bible study, you know?
Yeah.
Or we all don't study our Bible. I'm in Bible study. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting hammered all the time, even when you do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, it's just like, who are you to tell me that I'm not this? Mm-hmm. And I think that is a turnoff for a lot of people. Moreover, I'll throw in the homosexuality thing. I mean, that's a big struggle with our cultures today, and the church is very disrespectful when it talks about that. Now, obviously, we know that according to the Bible, homosexuality is a sin, but it's a sin that, you know, Christ atoned for and so forth. But when we speak disrespectfully to men who are struggling with homosexuality, they're not coming back. I've had conversations with homosexual men who have talked to me simply because I respected them. I never told them it was right. We talked through the situation, and we talked about where they're at with it and where the Bible's at with it, God's Word is at with it, and so forth. But if you don't come with respect, you don't have an audience. Mm-hmm. And if you look in your pews, you don't have an audience because there hasn't been respect for about three decades mm-hmm. in the church. That's my take on
that's,
it.
That's very perceptive.
I also think that we've all in our Western world, in our educated culture, have been overly critical because we've been trained to be critical thinkers. And you see it in the media. We get it 24/7. Mm-hmm. Marketing is all about making you unhappy with what you have so you get something else. And so everything's hypercritical. Mm-hmm. But not a lot of things are hyper-constructive. And I think that's what I want young adults to know, is the church is about being constructive. Jesus is about not only redemption, because we're sinners, but he once created us and redeemed us so that he can restore us. And restoration is a part of the story too. And this is what Gabe Lyons gets in his new book, The Next Generation of Christians, is we've truncated the story to, you're a sinner, you need Jesus to be saved. Well, they don't have the same worldview as you, and you just call them a sinner. I mean,
yeah. And that means something that, different to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, exactly.
Than it does to us.
That's a power play in evolution, right? Mm-hmm. Survival of the fittest. You're weak. I'm strong. I got Jesus. Mm-hmm. You want Jesus. Game over. They're not listening to you anymore. But the story's bigger than that. You were created in God's image. We all were. We all have fallen. We're all sinners. Jesus redeemed us, and he restores us, and he's going to restore things. And here comes the hope thing that's been missing mm-hmm. in so many people's lives. Mm-hmm. Gen Xers need hope. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get through life, and they're pretty tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just kind of pushing their way through life and getting it done, but they need hope. Mm-hmm. And I think Christ provides that hope. So I would say, instead of being overly critical, let's be constructive.
What are some other things, common misunderstandings that young adults have about the church?
Go ahead. Matt, you talked about Christ and the full restoration that he brings. I wish young adults knew that the church is all about creation, and it's about creation's restoration. So when we talk about environmental issues, I mean, this is God's good earth. That's a topic that young adults are so tapped into, and it's the church's thing. That's a theological question. What does God care about this earth? How should we treat it? Well, it's God's earth. So I think that's a topic that I wish that young adults knew that the church cares deeply about. This is what our synod just wrote about in its latest CTCR document. I forget the name of it. Together with All Creatures.
Yeah. We have a podcast. I interviewed Dr. Arend, who wrote that, and it's one of the podcasts on our site. So if you scroll down, you can see there's two parts of that interview, and he talks about how environmentalism is God's work. Mm-hmm. Taking care of what God gave us, that's mm-hmm. God's work. That's mm-hmm. And yeah, we go in depth in that, and it'd be really good to listen to if you're into that, so check it out.
I think, I come from a different perspective, because as I mentioned, I work for Lutheran Hour Ministries, and Lutheran Hour Ministries is the media extension of the LCMS. I mean, we're a media outreach organization that's an auxiliary of the LCMS Church, and I think one of the things that we really want to do is deconstruct some falsities that have been believed. Some fallacies, that have been believed by the younger generation. For example, in the media, and I had secular media training. I worked for ABC, Warner Brothers, and MS Communications before I went to Lutheran Hour Ministries. In secular media, you're taught to do anything about sex, religion, anything that would be some kind of, just make a lot of noise. And so a lot of the noise that we see are the horrible things that pastors have done, and that's really the only thing we see. They, you're taught to say, Mel Gibson is a Christian, and Mel Gibson did this horrible thing. Here's a pastor, and here's the horrible thing the pastor did. They really want to unravel stuff to get some gossip and some drama going. And so a lot of the people in this generation have just seen the most horrible things that have happened, and blaming Christians. My parents, they put a lot of money into... it was called PTL. It was like Jim Baker when we were a little kid. And, and then there was extortion and those kinds of things, and that was on the news constantly. You know what I mean? That just makes a good news story. And that's actually one of the reasons I got out of secular media and wanted to combine my love for sharing Christ with Lutheran Hour Ministries, is because we want to share hope. Like you said, they're hearing so many horrible things about Christians, and it's all focused on Christians, that the word of Jesus Christ is not getting out. And what we want them to know is that, we as a church, we don't think we're perfect. We know we've messed up. we are sinners, we are not perfect, and we are in need of a Savior. And it's only by God's grace that we get to be, you know, Jesus, God's children, and that we will get to go to heaven. And you know what? God loves you. No matter what you've done, all you have to do is trust in Him, and He forgives you. You know what I mean? And so I think that that's really what we're trying to do, is balance some truth with the fallacies that are being spoken in secular media. So Lutheran Hour Ministries is trying to say, you know, here's hope, here's peace.
So you're saying that the church wants young adults to know that we're not all like the Christians you see in the media.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all like that. And God is certainly not like any of us.
Right. One of my director, Reverend Mark Larson, he kind of was joking around, but he said something. He said, "I'm screwed up and I'm a Lutheran." That was like his motto. And his whole point was, it's by grace we are saved, not by works, so that no man can boast. And the whole point is that, you know, it's only by the grace of God that we're Christians and we're fully dependent on Him. And guess what? Jesus Christ is perfect. He loves us. He forgives us. And we're not just as horrible things you see on television. And so let's also kind of like prove them wrong and say, you know what? We just love you. We're not judging you. We're not trying to take your money, all these different things. But we're just trying to share this awesome thing that's in our life that we can't hoard to ourselves because we're so excited about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, along with that, you know, anytime that we as church leaders hear about those kinds of stories on the news, we grieve because mm-hmm. we know what you guys are hearing, what young adults are hearing when they hear news reports like that
yeah.
about church leaders. And we know it's a mar on our own callings. But we want young adults to know that we're not all like that. We are all sinners. We're all fallen. But we're trying better to reach yeah. people and to reach people for Christ. We know that those stories, that's the wrong kind of leaders, you know, that they're doing the wrong kinds of things. And we're trying to be better than that.
Yeah, and I think one from the church, what I'd like young adults to know is even when people in the church do make mistakes and mess up, there's still a God who loves you and cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the vessel might be broken, but the one who made the vessel is never broken.
Yeah.
And He's the one who's faithful. You know, I always go back, I think sometimes we forget our theology. You go back to the Garden of Eden. You know, what's the first thing that happened after the sin? Adam and Eve ran and hid. And sometimes we try to forget that and just say, well, you know, the people are in our pews and let's just try to market to them and make them feel really comfortable so they buy into this. Mm-hmm. Like you have to persuade someone to be by God. Mm-hmm. And you've been mm-hmm. saying over and over, Sarah, it's the Holy Spirit who does this. In reality, Adam and Eve were scared and they felt guilty. And a lot of young adults, I think, they come in the pews and let's be honest, they're scared about something. Why else would you go to church if you never went to church? Or you feel guilty about something. And we don't want to go there because that's kind of uncomfortable to assume that about someone. But that's usually the reality. Well, God's response to Adam and Eve is, where are you? And it's not a, where are you? Because I'm going to hammer you. But it's a, where are you? I mean, God could have just started the whole thing all over again if He wanted to, if He didn't care about Adam and Eve. But He says, where are you? Because His plan is to be with them. And I think what I want young adults to know is God is asking, where are you? Because He cares about you, because He wants you in His house, because that's where He takes care of you, that's where He saves you, that's where He helps you grow and restores you and so forth. And that message isn't getting out because all the other stuff is getting away.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of just some statistics I was just seeing about, you know, when are people open to coming back to church? It's almost always when they've had a death in the family. They're going through some really rough times, maybe a divorce, or maybe they just moved and they don't know anybody. Those are the times when young adults can get connected in. So what do I want young adults to know? Come, and this is a place to hear, you know, rest. It's a place to hear forgiveness. It's a place to hear hope.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, going, you know, basically coming from the wider perspective of what you just said and honing in a little bit more, for Christians to realize that you really... God has really put a strong calling in your life as His ambassador for Christ. And so you have those one-on-one relationships that Pastor Matt, Pastor Todd, Jessica, and I don't have with those people, or that your pastor doesn't necessarily have with those people. And so it's so powerful and meaningful when you just invite them to church, that young adult that you know. Like, invite them, you know. And then if they say yes, I mean, you're going to be surprised. But a lot of people will say yes that you didn't expect to. because you kind of assume they've already said no to Jesus when they may have never been asked to go to church. You know, they may never even had that discussion. So you'll be surprised who will say yes. And then the other thing is, which I always mention, don't just give somebody a blanket invitation. Say, hey, do you want to go this Sunday? Would you want to grab lunch after? Cool. Well, we usually go at this time. You want me to pick you up? I'd love to pick you up. So that you're making that personal connection, because they may be a little interested in going. They don't really know why they're going. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting them, you know, or whatever the case may be. But all they know is that you're their friend. You invited them to do something. So to them, they're just hanging out with you. Make sure that you add that personable friendship aspect to that invitation, and you usher them in. You sit with them. Nowhere uncomfortable. You know, you don't sit in the front row with them. That'll freak them out. You know, and then take them to their favorite place to go for lunch, or just invite them over to your house. Make something in the crock pot. $7, you know. But it's all about that friendship, showing Jesus love, and just inviting them personally. That's huge.
You know, I shouldn't quote a statistic if I don't really know where it comes from or what the actual stat is. But, like, I've seen it before. If you ask a friend to come to church with you, like, the amount who will say yes is just overwhelming. It's like, what, 80%? Yeah. Is that sound right? I mean, most people will say yes. Mm-hmm. So expect a yes, you know? I mean, 1 out of 5 might say no, but everyone else,
we assume a no, so we never ask.
Right.
And even if they say no, like, the people that have said no, they've stammered out why not, and then you learn more about where they are spiritually.
Mm-hmm. So even if they say no, that doesn't mean that it was a wasted conversation.
Right.
It's a window into who they are so that you can be a
And, you know, even if they've said no before, they might say yes to you. So just don't be be afraid. You're a new friend. You're a different person to them.
And maybe God's planted 6 seeds, and now you're the person that gets to see it to fruition, you know?
Mm-hmm. And a statistic that piggybacks on that is only 2% of church-going people ever invite someone to go to church with them.
Really?
So think about that. If 80% say yes, and these are non-Christians that saw the same stat, and only 2% of churchgoers are actually asking someone to go to church, the potential is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true. And I mean, if you don't know what to personally say, well, you know, hook up with us at Lutheran Hour Ministries for Mission Year 514. But also, you don't have to personally know what to say. If you invite them to church, the pastor's going to do the talking, and they'll likely ask you questions. And that's super easy for you because you don't have to ask them the questions. You can just start talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Let's hone this in even more. Just as individuals, what do you want your non-Christian friends to know about Christianity? So, like, I think this is good that we started, like, what would the church... But what about you as individual Christian young adults? What do you want your non-Christian friends to know about Christianity or your church?
I have a lot of... Oh, go ahead, Pastor Matt.
My first one would be a worldview thing. And, you know, my non-Christian friends, I would say, well, I'd want them to know this. That in survival of the fittest, everyone dies, including the fittest. But it's only through Jesus' sacrifice for forgiveness that anyone lives. And that's how God provides life for all people. And that's where it all, that's where the rubber meets the road. A lot of people are too busy to even think about worldview and where they're going and death and hell and all that other stuff. And, you know, now people are just ignoring, like, hell doesn't even exist because there's been so much smoke and mirrors put out there to put the Bible away. I don't have to take that serious. But if you actually study the Bible, or if you actually sit down with someone who does study the Bible, Lutheran Hour Ministry is putting out a great movie, or it's like an hour presentation on the Bible. If you actually read the stories, if you actually start to understand the archaeology and everything in it, you'll understand how real it is, mm-hmm. and how laughable the smoke and mirrors that have been put out for the last 100 years are. And then it's time to reevaluate what you've been thinking about the Bible. Because I think it's been too easy for people just to put the Bible on the shelf and disregard it because of what they've heard in the media. And it's just all wrong.
Mm-hmm. You want your friends to know that there's more to it than what they have been taught that there is.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot more.
You know, I think young adults have been told for so long that there is no truth. There's no such thing as truth. You know, postmodernism. But what I want young adults to know is, honestly, we've got it. It's God's word, and that is truth. You know, it's a deeper reality. It points to Christ and a God who's created everything. He's going to restore everything. That's truth. That's a story that encompasses all things. So that's what I want them to know. It's not just one of many choices. It's it.
There's a lot of security in that.
Yeah.
Because it's not all just gray shadows. It's something for real.
Right, it's real. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of friends who actually aren't Christians that I stay friends with from that time I got away from God, or that we know that are musicians. And my stomach's in knots just thinking about, like, if they are listening and I actually have the chance to talk to them. Like, one of our friends just died in a car accident. And it still kind of, like, you know, chokes me up a little bit because it's just recent. But he was a Christian. And, you know, there were some bad circumstances leading up to what happened and that kind of thing. And then I have another friend who, she was a Christian for a little while, and then she got away from God. Her mom died of cancer. I have just a lot of different friends. And I guess if I was just talking to them, like, all blanketly, I'd just say, you know what, guys? I'm really sorry for when I became a Christian again that I got on a soapbox and tried to tell you how to fix your life. Because you know what? It's 10 years later or whatever, and I still make mistakes, and it's only by the grace of God that I get to be where I am. But I can tell you this, that Jesus, if you were the only person in the world, that he would have died for you to forgive you of anything you've done, and that tomorrow you could wake up in the morning and not worry about what you did yesterday, or not just rack your brain trying to remember what you did because you're on drugs or alcohol or whatever the case is. You could live a fresh new life where you don't hate yourself, because God already loves you. You don't need to find value in what other people think about you. You don't have to be a size zero. You know, you don't have to do it on your own. You're not alone. I guess I would just tell them that Jesus really loves them just uniquely for them, and that I'm sorry where I've done things wrong, but I just want you to know that, like, I want to be next to you learning more about Jesus and just thanking him for what he's already done for me and for you, and, like, let's talk about it together and find some answers together.
You would want young adults to know that as Christians, sometimes when we've shared our faith, we've done it wrong and we're sorry.
And that we're, like, a work in progress.
Yeah. But that even though we've messed up how we told you, the thing that we try to tell you about is awesome, and we hope that came through.
Yeah, and then also, like, even though I'm 10 years ahead of you in Christianity, I am at the same place as you at the feet of Jesus, like, needing a Savior, needing forgiveness every day. You know what I'm saying? That I'm not better than you, and, like, I don't have it all figured out.
Yeah. I mean, I want young adults to know that the church doesn't have all the answers. You know, we don't have everything figured out just perfectly. We know Christ. We know what he's done. We know what he's going to do. But we don't get everything perfect. We're not perfectionists. Mm-hmm. But just be patient with us. Talk with us. Communicate with us. Let's get a dialogue going on how to live, what this all means. And we'd love to talk.
And tell me if you're mad at us or you're mad at God.
Yeah.
Like, we can handle that. God can handle it. Like, God can handle you yelling at him. Just, he wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. So what are some things that we as Christian young adults can do to bridge this gap? Because obviously there's a huge gap between what the church is saying and what young adults are hearing, and a gap between where young adults are and where the church thinks they are. Because a lot of people, I think, listening are Christian young adults, just like us, who have friends who aren't Christians, just like we do, and they just want help in knowing, how can I tell my brother about Jesus if he's lost? How can my friend see Jesus in me? I don't know how to say the words.
Well, I think what made St. Paul the greatest missionary, one of the things that made him such a great missionary, was he was bicultural. He could play both sides. He could be the Jew of the Jew, and he could be the Greek of the Greek because of his background. And I think what young adults in the church have, and what we have growing up in the church, and yet growing up in a whole new world that our parents didn't grow up in, is that we're bicultural. Some of us, like for me, I grew up in the church. I grew up in Wisconsin. I get the liturgy. I can deal with traditional music. I've been in contemporary music. I've done youth gatherings. I've played sports in college with people who aren't Christian. So I've seen the party side. Mm-hmm. And I've grown up in a public high school. And I have friends. And I live in the city. And I see the other culture. And I live in the other culture. But I also know the other culture. And I know the good and the bad of both. And so it allows me to respectfully speak to both sides and bridge that gap and miscommunication that's often there. And I think that helps a lot. And a lot of young adults have that ability. You know, our parents, you know, whenever we use the age labels like baby boomers or Gen X or millennials, we're generalizing a whole segment of people. But there's a lot of baby boomers have given and sacrificed tons being Christian day school teachers and pastors and never getting raises and getting us at Gen Xers through college and seminary that we have our faith and our lives we owe them. And maybe now it's our time to respectfully go to them and help them understand and bridge this gap, because the technology boom was just as big as the industrial boom, and things have changed overnight. It's not easy on anyone. And I think that's the one role that we can play.
I would really encourage church leaders to just get out and start doing something. You know, start generating conversations with young adults, both in your congregation and those in your area. We often have such a refined picture of what a church program should look like and about how many should come just so that it's considered worth it. But I think church leaders need to be a little more free just to get out and try things. You know, go to a local bar, bring some young adults from your church to just start having conversation. Mm-hmm. People will come up and start talking to you guys, and just be willing just to start talking with them and start bringing people in. Go every week. Don't be afraid that, just because you're a church, you can't go to the local brewery, Actually, young adults would probably really like that.
Yeah,
if it's a good brewery.
If it's a good brewery, yeah.
I think the other thing that we mentioned is this is a digital age. I mean, everyone is on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, blogging, all these different things. And actually, with Mission Youth School of Witnessing that I mentioned, we're creating a new course this summer that's called Sharing the Gospel in a Digital Age. And that's really all about connecting older generations with what's important to younger generations so that they can learn how they can share Christ with younger generations, utilizing some of those mediums that they're using every day that are popping up on their phone, that they're, you know what I mean? And so I think something that I would encourage people to do is get on the internet, get on Facebook. Yeah, you don't know how to do it perfectly. But at the same time, like Lutheran Hour Ministries, we want to help you guys. We want to help you learn how to do that and to connect with people, because that's mass distribution. If you get on there, you can connect with people you haven't seen in years that are in different states. You have the opportunity to impact so many people at one time. So that's something that we're trying to do to help create a bridge between older generations and younger generations to connect.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of churches realize that young adults really don't read the bulletin. They won't. If there's an event that's only there and it's only, or even just even announced in church, if it's not on Facebook, if it's not on your church website, they're not coming, because they lose the bulletin. It's Thursday, and when was that event? What's going on? Well, if it's not on your website, they're not going to be there. They're not going to know when it is.
I think these are really good practical insights for church leaders. What are some really practical insights for just Christian young adults? They don't work at church. They don't have a lot of say over the choices that the congregation makes, but just for young adults who live in a world of other young adults who aren't Christians, what are some things that they could do to help their non-Christian young adults understand the true intent and motivation from the church, which is good, but isn't coming out? They're not understanding.
I say be the same person at work as you are at church, as you are at home, being transparent, because that's so important to them, is authenticity. Letting them watch your life, knowing that you're a Christian. They might come to you and ask you questions, just loving on them. I think that absolutely speaks volumes.
They see a disconnect between who you are on Sunday when you invite them to church with you and who you are at the office. Huh. I mean, they'll
there
never
goes
come
the
back.
Trust.
Yeah,
yeah,
there it goes. Yep, exactly.
And then the one other thing I was just going to mention is, this might come off the wrong way, I'm sorry, but starting with introducing them to Jesus, not the church. You know what I mean? Because the church itself is this intimidating thing to a lot of people. They find it really hard to walk up the steps of this foreign entity. They might see it as a country club or something. So maybe just talking about your relationship with Jesus first and starting there, not filling them in on all the theology yet, maybe later for sure, because it's beautiful, absolutely. But starting with who is Jesus and how does he impact your life?
And again, it's one of those things that we know it, but sometimes we overlook it. Get them in the Word. However you can do it. Whether it's a birthday card with a Bible verse or, putting the Word in your home and inviting them in so they can... They'll read the pictures. You don't have to point it out to them. Get them in the Word because that's how God creates faith.
In all of your examples, it's all been through relationships. They're at your house looking at your pictures. Mm-hmm. They're at work with you, so be who you are on Sundays. It's all been examples of them seeing you for real in a relationship, none of you said, make better tracks to drop off at their door. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, wear a Christian t-shirt so that strangers who see you could read it. It's all been, here's a relationship where people can see Jesus in you. Here are just ways that they can see Jesus in you more clearly.
Right.
That's interesting to me. I think that might be the first thrust of what needs to happen.
Absolutely. This might sound a little preachy, but, I mean, the person that you know who's a non-Christian, you're the one who should bring the gospel to them. You can't wait for your minister to show up to your neighbor's door to bring them to church. You know, you're the one that God's put in their life to teach them about Christ, to bring them to church, to share God's word with them. They're the one. You're the one that should do that.
That's scary. It's a lot easier to drop off a track or say, I'm wearing my Christian t-shirt and there's a ichthus fish on my car, so I've done my job. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a lot harder. You guys are talking about actually being real friends with people and picking them up for church. Sarah, you were talking about mm-hmm. that. I mean, those are investments. That's life-changing kind of behavior where it's not just, you know, plaster, wear a cross necklace and I'm done. It's like, these are, you're getting dirty. Like, you're getting your hands dirty like Jesus did and really living with people and loving them and building friendships.
And yet there's opportunities all over the place, especially in the city. I have 7 families right now that would be in church every week if someone would pick them up.
Wow.
But it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard because you're like you said, it's scary for people, and it's right there. I mean, this isn't. I have to debate you to get you to break down and accept my belief system. This is. I want to come to church. I don't have a ride.
Wow.
I know, and I think some of that is just perspective, like realizing that everything we have, including our time, our cars, our resources, it's all God's, and it's only by His grace that we have any of that. You know, mm-hmm. So just like tweaking our perspective a little bit, because let's admit it, we're all in that young adult group who is very independent, who thinks they worked for it in some ways, even as Christians, and like even tweaking our minds, because I'll admit, I've had times where I'm like, I have volunteered so much at church, I'm always at Lutheran Hour Ministries, I'm always speaking, you know what I mean? And I think, so I don't need to reach out to this friend, even if the Holy Spirit puts them on my heart sometimes. And it's like, no, it's only by God's grace that you get to do any of that. And like, you know, the really cool thing is, like, when you do what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, you're always, like, at the end of it, you're like, oh, my goodness, that is amazing. God, you showed me so much through this, and I can't believe you even let me be a part of that. So some of that is just, like, fighting that laziness and that, self-entitlement or something.
Well, Sarah, pulling together what you were saying and Jess, what you were saying before, Sarah, you're saying, like, how, you know, you have to rethink. It's a struggle sometimes to do it, and sometimes it's times when you may not really want to share your faith. And Jess, you were saying how, you know, sharing your faith is a life-changing thing. It changes everything about you. You really have to retool who you are and realize to jump on those opportunities mm-hmm. when they come your way. Just from a personal note, you know, any time that I realize that I'm thrown into an evangelism moment to share my faith, almost always it's a time when I just don't want to, you know it feels like, oh, this person, I don't want to talk about my church, I don't want to talk about my faith, I'm tired, I've been, you know, doing this all day. Those are always the times, and I love the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. because He brings those people and they just keep asking questions. Well, where is your church? You know, where, what kind of ministry do you do? You know, those are the times you just need to really think, retool, okay, regroup, reboot, and just go with it. Start talking. You know, it's a life-changing thing. But you got to realize that, you know, you don't have you time when the Holy Spirit's knocking at your door and is putting someone, you know, across the table to talk with. So I just encourage people to look for those opportunities. Don't ignore them when they come, because that's the Holy Spirit knocking and coming your way.
This is so convicting.
Yeah.
Because as young adults, like, we've had to become so flexible with our jobs to stay, you know, afloat in the economy. We've had to be so flexible because a lot of our parents are divorced and we had to learn how to live through that. Mm-hmm. Our, like, flexibility and tolerance is like something that defines who we are. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden I have to pick up somebody every Sunday to bring them to church? Mm-hmm. That doesn't leave me a lot of flexibility if I'm not into it that week or something. Mm-hmm. This is a major commitment. This is hard for our generation mm-hmm. to think through some of these things.
See, what the tension that there is with young adult ministry is, lots of young adults come to church looking for how the church can serve them. And what they discover is that it completely changes who they are. And then now they're going out and they're changing who they are so that they can reach more young adults. It's not about serving what they need anymore. It's about how they can, you know, give people what their greatest need is, and that's Christ.
And it goes back to, you know, you said, Jessica, commitment over and over again. And it's true. The young generation has a struggle with commitment, whether it be committed to a husband, wife, committed to a career, committed to kids, committed to a congregation. Commitment is a major hang-up for our culture. And part of the reason is you can't commit to someone unless you understand what it means to be committed to before. Kind of like you can't love someone unless you've been loved. You can't forgive someone unless you've been forgiven. Mm-hmm. And you can't nurture someone unless you've been nurtured. And that's what they've been missing, is someone committed to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the church needs to step up and start committing to people.
And to show them who's already committed completely to them. Jesus has committed. He is completely committed to you, completely loves you, give his life for you. And based on that love and that commitment, then we can be loving and we can learn to commit. Oh, that's what our next podcast is actually about. The topic of our next conversation with a group of young adults is our generation's feelings on commitment, and how does a church help young adults commit when they're so flexible? It's hard for them to commit to a community. So, hey, that leads in right to our next podcast.
Awesome.
I wanted to thank Matt Hayner, Sarah Gedalion, and Todd Liefer for being here and being part of this conversation. You guys rock. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.